How do you build a brand that gets people excited to be giving you money? Right here, right now, it's On Air Brands.
You are now tuned in to the On Air Brands podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the On Air Brand Show. I am Todd Genetasio, and with me, bringing back the original host to co-host with me, Mr. Eric Cabral. How are
What's
you doing, sir?
What's up? So happy to be here.
Yeah, the branding expert. So what we just had our pre-show. Well, oh, and also major announcement here. We're coming here 1080p streaming live if you're watching us on YouTube and Facebook. So make sure you're catching that. And you know, I remember when HD first came out, it was like right around the World Series, and Albert Pujols was in the World Series, and he had like this thing on his lip when they would like zoom in, and it was like, man, that was like my first impression of HD. And I'm like, now I'm very conscious of throughout my life when I'm like, oh man, is there anything I need to be aware of? Because it was like, oh, look how clear this picture is when you get in on Pujols's face. And it was like all messed up. And it's like, when you're building a brand, you want to make sure everything's clean and polished so that nothing like that happens, right? So that's why we brought on Mr. Eric Cabral today, the branding expert. And we're going to be talking about branding your podcast, branding your business, and branding industries, right? So we were pre-show, we were talking about brands like Amazon and Audible inside that, and Apple Podcasts versus Spotify, like these brands that get us hooked in to, you know, into their products. And it's not just the marketing on the front end, where a lot of people think about branding as, you know, brand awareness, your logo and visuals of people, like when you put, you know, put yourself out there, get exposure, et cetera. But then what about like for the customer experience part of branding, right? Like you get hooked into listening to your podcast on Apple. And when Joe Rogan switches to Spotify exclusive, there are some people that don't follow him over there because the convenience, not even brand loyalty, but the convenience of the Apple Podcast app, that's where they listen to their shows. That's where they're hanging out. And Rogan's not in the feed anymore. So that's what we'll be talking about. All these different ways to build up a really powerful brand that hooks in customers for a long time. And Eric, coming from your big corporate branding background and now really helping, you know, entrepreneurs and growing businesses take the power of these brands by producing their shows. So if anybody's listening and you want a great podcast brand, onairbrands.com, scroll down to the bottom and fill out that contact form. You can talk to Eric himself, maybe, if you're lucky. But, you know, talk to us about like, what's your take on these big, powerful brands? And how can we do that as smaller businesses that aren't Apple and Amazon?
Yeah, I mean, those are all good questions with no direct answer. So I'll dance around.
We're rabbit holing today. We're just,
yeah,
you know,
we're gonna rabbit hole.
We're gonna just pull on different threads and see where we go.
I love it. And you know, it's always interesting sharing this on Facebook. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm multitasking here, folks. But yeah, it's interesting because we as business owners are busy, right? We're doing business.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to do. We're here to
it's right in the name.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a huge proponent of every single company needs to have a podcast. And not just because, you know, that's what we do, right? When we create shows for people. I really truly believe that in order for your company to survive in the modern era of media creation and content creation and awareness, there has to be now what we call a podcast, but it's really just a marketing arm. Mm-hmm. It's a channel for you. Mm-hmm. That if we liken it to the day when people were shelling out business cards during meetings and direct mail, well, when websites came out, everybody understood, oh, there's another presence. There's another piece of real estate that I can build on. Mm-hmm. I need a website. Right. So then people started going to these meetings and go, oh, I ran out of business cards. Oh, go to my website, http://co. And then like people started understanding that that was necessary in business to have that.
Yeah.
It's now that time. People haven't realized a podcast is essential to growing your business and creating brand awareness and letting people understand and know what it's not just what we sell. It's not just what we provide. It's also our culture, our core beliefs, the people on the team, the people to the left and the right of me, the people that we serve. All of the this holistic perspective of your company is given through a podcast. And because I'm calling it podcast, Todd, it's not just a podcast. Right. It's everything. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. It's we call it a podcast, but I like the word show. It's just all encompassing. It's marketing for you.
Look, it's branding because where'd the name podcast come from?
I think I have one on my shelf back here. It's a little white thing that was as big as a soap. He's a bar of soap, right? It's iPods.
Yeah, the iPods. And that's the power of brand. And, you know, I don't know the specific numbers off the top of my head. You might know them closer to me, but it's like 90% of podcast subscribers are subscribing via Apple, right? And then number two is Spotify and number three is YouTube. But it's like YouTube and Spotify take up, you know, a combined 15% or something like that. It's like, you know, the Apple podcast brand hooked people in and they dominated. They made the name of this entire industry podcast. And that's, people are still calling it that, even though it is so much more.
Totally. It's so much more. And, you know, we use the word podcast, but it could be called anything. Like I said, show is a great way. We push it out everywhere. We push it out on YouTube. We create micro content. The podcast is just the vehicle and the place to create the content. But once it's done, you know, it's game on. Like now it's up to you and your team to develop content around that one conversation.
Right.
And here's the other cool thing about it, Todd. And I know we could tie this all into branding, but it's a way for us to communicate on a deep level.
It's about deepening relationships.
Exactly. And here's the cool thing about what just happened here today, you know, a little sort of meta and behind the scenes is, you know, Todd and I are busy. We're running our own businesses. And I, you know, we ping each other here and there. We talk through text, but we don't jump on Zooms every day.
Right.
So you know, Amber, you know, hit us up last night, your co-host. And she was like, hey guys, I got court, you know. We forget she's a lawyer by day, right? She's such an amazing marketing, you know, brain. So she's like, who are we going to get? And like, it never crossed anyone's mind that I could jump in. I'll parachute in. It was like, let's get this thought leader, this amazing author. And we're like, hey guys, me. But anyway, so I jump in. Thank you. Thanks for having me. And when we do our little pre-John, as Rob calls it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rob, our producer. But when we did our pre-interview, it was like we talk every single day.
Yep.
Right. It wasn't like, hey, how you doing? How's the kids? How's the Tesla?
Right.
It was like right down to brass tacks and business and how we can, you know, really expand on this show. But
yeah.
So anyway, my point is podcast created that vehicle for us and the reason for us to get together.
Yeah.
And remember why we love each other. Remember what we connect on and how we can just like share ideas and what's current, what's happening. Yeah. I love podcasts for that reason.
Yeah. You know, and let's talk. One of the things we were kind of going back and forth on in the pre-show was, you know, the subscription brands, the Audible, you know, Audible charges, is it $19 a month, right? And you get one credit. There's AMC movie theaters. You get, I think I pay $20 or around $20 a month. I get to go to the movie theater unlimited amount of times every month, which is freaking awesome.
Crazy.
And then there's Apple podcasts are free. And then there's Netflix subscriptions. And then you were telling me about this Apple Fitness thing that came out or is coming out. Like we don't even know where it is, but it was that Apple has so much audience equity that like they can create products and just put them right into the feed of their whole, you know, feed, so to speak, but like onto the Apple TV. And now it's there for everybody. And, you know, building brands that just deepen the relationship with your customers that hook you in, right? Like there's opportunities for that stuff everywhere too, that we need to be thinking differently about these days, where it's not just like, hey, let me, you know, put out messages about my products and do this. It's like, how do we deepen relationships so people just like want to hang out with us all the time and like give us money for it? It's like
Yeah, I mean, Apple's unprecedented, right? They've created an ecosystem unlike any other. But what can we do as small to mid-sized business owners is we can leverage the tools that they're creating, or we can model the things that they're doing, you know, especially with podcasting, content creation, and doing all the things that we now have access to. Here's the thing with and just blanket statement here. When we say podcast, we're talking about content, right? We're talking about, you know, YouTube, we're talking about Facebook, Instagram, all of it. So when you go out there and you commit to it, because it is a commitment, right? Starting a podcast, creating a podcast, and doing it on a continuous basis, right? Because you can only pull results and justify doing it. You know, your ROI is based off long-term results. So when you do it, this is affecting everything as a whole, you know, to bring it back around, Todd, you know, with branding. And when we say branding, we're talking about your company's reputation, your personal reputation. Like how people view you and how people talk about you when you're not in the room is massive, right? Yeah. So the podcast helps with that. It helps with the credibility. It helps with the introduction. It helps with people getting to know you before they get to know you or meet you physically. So it's just another way and another window for people to gain access to you. And if you're doing it right and you have a successful business, it's just an add-on. It's value that you're adding onto your business and to your consumers.
Yeah. And think about this. I'm sure, you know, over your years, once you left, you know, the big corporate ladder, when someone comes to you, and I've heard this so many times, as you know, in the marketing agency, a client comes and they say, we need a new website, make it look like Apple's, or we want a brand, make it like Apple's. Right. And it's like, but one, you're not Apple. And two, Apple has spent how many billions of dollars over the years building a brand? So if you try to do what they're currently doing, it's probably not going to work out too well for you, right? Like they don't need to, they have already deepened these relationships. Now, but what if you could create that same type of relationship where, like, I don't know if this still happens, but remember new iPhones coming out, people were camping out at Best Buy.
They still do that.
Oh, so like, you know, like, I don't, but that was the power of the Apple brand where they're creating these things, right? And they have these loyal fans. Now, all right, as a small and medium business, you're not going to have millions of people across the world camping out the night before. But what if you pick your small target audience? How can you create that type of excitement and relationship with people? Don't try and boil the ocean and become this mass global brand and mimic what Apple's doing today. But how can you pick, you know, what Seth Godin and others call like the minimum viable audience to get them subscribed to your show so you can deepen the relationship way better with an intimate group of people, whether it's hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, but it's not, you don't have to spend billions of dollars in advertising to do this. You just attract your tribe, right? And now you can use your show to be in front of them regularly, get them indoctrinated into your values and your team members and all the stuff you just talked about, right? And now you do have that same Apple magic, but with 100 or 1,000 people instead of 1,000,000 people. But, you know, we don't, you know, we're likely not talking to the people who are making billions of dollars a year, right? Like that's the power of getting your show. And then you can expand from there into greater sized audiences. But podcasts are able to give you that Apple magic, that brand magic that Apple has when you're, you know, within who you want to be talking to.
Yeah. I want to rewind the clock to your point with now that we're talking about Apple and how they did it. You know, if we go back to the 90s, I remember, and I'm sure you remember this too, we would get magazines in the mail every day, every week. That was like Mac Mall. They had PC Mall too. But then all these, and then there would just be pages upon pages of like these beige computers, right? That were thousands and thousands of dollars, right? That was the only way you could get your hands on a Mac. And we didn't know it or love it as a brand. We just knew them as computers, right? We just, that's all we needed it for. But then at some point, Apple got their shit together and they were thing where people could just buy it off a magazine and let's build a brand. Basically, Steve Jobs came back and he was like, no, we're creating a product, we're going to sell the why, right? The whole Simon Sinek thing. Yep. We're going to sell the why, not the how. What? So then when he really got everyone on board culturally within the company to say, yes, we understand what we're trying to do now. We're not just some generic thing. We're going to make these cool products that for people and solve a problem and tell them the reason why they need it. Then when you went into a store, because they were one of the first, I remember Gateway. I wish Apple were the first like store to open up in a mall, but I remember Gateway doing it. Remember with the cow patterns, yes, on the boxes that. And everything.
Yeah.
So that was cool. People forget about that, but they were the first to do it. And you know, computers and all that stuff in a store in the mall. But then when Apple opened, the thing they did, Todd, was so magical and different. They actually gave a crap about you. And I remember going in and saying, hey, this doesn't work, or I don't understand this. And they would spend ungodly amounts of time invested in you and your questions. And like, oh, wait, oh, your headphones aren't working. We'll give you 6 new ones. And it was constant. And like, if you broke it, and they didn't ask questions, they just gave you a brand new one, and they would upgrade you. And there was so much love poured into the community. They began to create brand loyalists and champions, where now I'm going to other people who don't have an iPod, and I'd start selling it. I'd say, like, hey, you know, look at these features. I'd be at parties, and I'd be scrolling and doing all this stuff, and I'd be selling their product for them. Why? Because they treated me like gold, the customer like gold, and they transferred us from a customer transactional mindset to like clients. We're going to continue coming back over and over and over. And then they did the magical thing. Once they had us, an army of like brand loyalists, right? It's like a religion. That's what they created. They started to create the ecosystem where, like, now, oh, it's an iPod.
It's the expansion.
Computer. It's now connected to your phone. It's connected to your head. You can't get out now. There's no way.
Yep. And even, you know, Amber, when she, I forget which one she came in first, was she brought in the, she had a MacBook, and then she got an Apple Watch, and then she got an iPhone. I forget the order of which she did it, but like once she got one, then she looped in, and like every week when we were meeting, she would come back in with like a new Apple product. And she's like, all right, I'm in and I'm hooked in. But one of the big things there, Eric, that you were talking about too, well, two things that I want to go down to are, one, what Apple did first is they got everybody on board and created a culture, right? Like, it wasn't like they were inconsistent and doing different things all the time. They, you know, Jobs created this vision, and then he enrolled everybody internally in that vision so that they could be consistently putting it out regularly across the board everywhere. And that's how you create a community around your brand or around your company, right? That's how you create the brand community. And then the second thing you talked about there that I want to go down here is, no one talks about this anymore. They just say Apple's this huge brand and conglomerate. But what you said was they poured love into the community, right? And I talk about it as modern marketing, but this is 20 years ago. Oh my God, more than 20 years ago. But like, they were pouring love, right? I always talk about modern marketing. You have to be customer centric. You have to be value first. And that's what they were doing. And that's what they still do, you know, to an extent. They don't need to do it as much now, but it's just layered into the entire experience with the Apple brand. But it all starts with having that clear vision, getting everyone enrolled internally so that when you're doing it, it's consistent. And that consistency creates familiarity, and it gets the whole brand, the whole community around you. It attracts the right people. Your vibe attracts your tribe. That's what they did. They attracted all these people who would become the army you were talking about. And then they poured love into that community that they attracted. And then in turn, all that love into the community, all that value into the community, then those people became the spreaders of the brand, the amplifiers of the brand. And then they were able to expand this whole ecosystem, which from a hardware perspective, you mentioned, is right, where they went from just computers to iPods, headphones, et cetera, et cetera. But then they also have the software ecosystem, because now that you have the MacBook and the iPhone, you're using the podcast app. You're using the iTunes store to buy your music that they get a little portion of. You're using the App Store to download all these games and tools that you use every day. And that's where they have this massive ecosystem of hardware and software, and they sneeze and can change the whole world with something. But it all started with getting a clear vision, enrolling people internally so they could create a brand, and then pouring love into the community around the brand. And that is a story that I don't think enough people know about, talk about, or understand when it comes to building a brand like Apple.
Yeah. And Todd, what can we take, you know, as small, mid-sized business owners from what Apple did, right? We can pour love into each and every client that we have, mm-hmm. right? And tend to their needs and solve their pains and find solutions for whatever they're trying to do. And then making sure that that is consistent across the board. Every single person that touches your brand has that same experience. This is the stuff that Apple did that we can easily do. You just have to really, truly care about what you're doing and believe in your product and know that it helps people. And the thing is that the key to that is finding people that need you, right? Not just generically or just forcing someone to buy a product or service that they don't need, because we've all been guilty of that, right? Like I bought stuff that I didn't need because the person who was selling it was amazing. And then I realized I don't need this crap. I'm not even using it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, there is a way where you can serve people from a genuine level. Like we talk about this all the time, right? Todd says having an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset helps with that, because now you're not looking at the person in front of you and desperate, you know, with commission breath thinking, I gotta close this sale. Yeah. And it's not about that. It's like, is my product or service truly going to help this person? If not, you know, hey, nice knowing you. I'm sure I can connect you to someone that actually can help you, because I can't help you. It's not the right fit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And one of the, you know, a book, I don't know, we haven't talked about this yet. If you've seen it yet, it's $100 Million Offers is the name of the book. It came out a couple weeks ago. Alex Hormozi, who honestly, my impression of his personal brand was that he was like an internet marketer. I'd heard of him for, I don't know, a year or a while. But like, I thought he was like internet marketing guru-y type person. And then I heard him on he has a great podcast too. I like what he talks about. I just didn't know really much about him. And then I heard him being interviewed as, you know, because he's got this new book. So he was talking about, and he actually runs like 3 separate offline businesses that do tens of millions of dollars a year, 3 different businesses doing that. And so he came out with this book, $100 Million Offers. I highly suggest getting it. He put it out for 99 cents if you get the Kindle version. You know, he just wants a lot of people to have it. But one of the things he talks about is, imagine if you could only make one sale, one purchaser, one customer, and the experience had to be so good that was your only marketing channel, was that one person who bought, that they're going to love this so much that they have to go and tell at least one other person. And when you put that kind of love and care into the product experience, like you're talking about Apple did and does, then it's multiplied, literally multiplied, right? One person comes in, they tell 1.2 people. That's, you know, I think it's called the K factor of viral spreading, right? When it comes to viral marketing and stuff. But it's creating an experience that people are going to love so much because you care and you are there to serve the right people, right? You might have a great product, but if you give it to the wrong person, they're not going to have a great experience, and then it's not going to spread. You know, you might make the best cheeseburger in the world, but if you go and give it to a vegetarian, they're not really going to tell anybody about it.
I love that. You remind me of, remember John Rulin? He's the author of Giftology. He has a company called Giftology.
Yep.
And he wanted Tony Robbins as a client, right? The big fish.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he spent so much time creating a unique product for Tony Robbins. And so the business of Giftology is you hire them and they will systematically send gifts to your clients, but it's all personalized. Mm. So it's 100% coming from you, but you know, they do all the legwork, they do all the back end.
Yeah.
So one of the things and one of the gifts they love to give are Cutco knives. Right? Mm-hmm. So you can't just send Tony Robbins a package of 2 Cutco knives, right? So what he did was he created, I think the most expensive Cutco knife set is like 10 grand or something. He took that set.
Was that a ninja sword that comes with it?
Yeah, I know, right? And a ninja delivers it.
Yeah.
While you're sleeping. But anyway, it was in like, I don't know, it's like a beautiful cedar box. And when you before you opened it, there was an iPad embedded in it, and it had a message from him. It was like, hey, Tony, blah, blah, blah. And then when he opened it, he took quotes from Tony Robbins and engraved it on every single piece of cutlery. I mean, talk about next level, right?
Yeah.
And his time and thought about it with his team. But he knew if he got Tony Robbins as a client, that guy is going to spread it just like, you know, you or I, hey, buy this iPad. It's brand new. Like if you have that, he's the big get. But, you know, if you go for the 100,000 millions of people, that can be your brand champion. But this is what I'm talking about. Is like if you're talking about is putting the time, energy, and effort into helping or figuring out how you can break through the noise so that you can, you know, get the right people on board, you know, collectively so that they can help you, right? You want to create your sales force.
Yep.
With tactics like that.
And what's great now, we, I mean, that's obviously, this is a very extreme example of doing something like that, right? Like, and it's amazing, but like, let's take that into like the real practical world of like day-to-day operations of the business, right? And how does that tie in? Like, this is what's great about having a show, is that if you have a clear vision for the show content, the people you want to serve, that you can show up consistently and bring value, and then you think, how can we bring the love and service into this show so that we can serve as many people as possible through the show? And then that becomes great content that your audience is going to love and they're going to want to share. And guess what? It's really easy to share the link to your show, whether that's on YouTube, Facebook, the podcast share button, like sending it to somebody via email or text or screenshotting to Instagram. But your show episodes and then the micro content that comes out of it is extremely shareable for those people that are like, man, this episode was great. I need more people. I want more people to hear this. Or, oh man, they're talking about like podcast branding. My friend is, you know, they have a podcast and they, you know, there's no consistency, there's no brand. I need to share this with them so they can hook up with Eric, and they're going to share that over and go to onairbrands.com, scroll down, fill out that contact form if you want some podcast branding. But that's the power of the show, is making it. And when you come from this service standpoint and the abundance mindset, let's share everything. Here's everything we know. Here's what we advise our clients. Take this information and use it yourself or share it, you know, and that becomes something people want to put out to their friends, family, colleagues, coworkers, whoever becomes relevant, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you and I talk about this a lot where, you know, there's all the different types of services, right? You can do the, hey, do it yourself, do it with you, do it for you, you know, and for a lot of the people that come to us or come to you at Treznik, where it's like, I can't afford you. How can you teach me how to do it myself? Mm-hmm. So there's definitely ways, and you have to put the time, energy, and effort into doing it and doing it the right way, where you can create content so people can figure out how to create their own podcast or how to buy their own Facebook ads the right way. Yep. And doing all these sort of things in marketing or in anything, people love, I'm sure if YouTube gave us like the numbers and the algorithm behind how many people go to DIY stuff on YouTube, like it's massive. People want to figure it out, and then they eventually figure out they don't want to do it.
Right.
You know, and then they just go hire a freaking carpenter or something.
But yep.
Yeah. It's a really good tactic and strategy for you as a business owner. If you have a product or a service where you can distill it down to something that you can give on your website or your podcast. And so, hey guys, I know what we're doing is difficult and we want to help you to do it yourself. So here, download the blah, 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 blah. And then like you give them a link.
Yeah,
to your white paper or to your whatever, your YouTube channel, whatever it is.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, it's not even just how-to stuff, because depending on the business and all that stuff, it's also about like the right insights and perspective on how to think about the problems that you have, especially for us as, you know, service providers and B2B service providers, where there's a lot more that goes into it, where you're not just like going to the store, taking a bag of coffee off the shelf that you can go and make coffee at home. It's like, there's a lot that goes into it. So even if you're not, if you're going to do it yourself or not, here's how you need to think about branding. And, you know, if people tune into this because they found us on search for, you know, if this podcast, if this episode gets titled, you know, branding your podcast or podcast branding or something like that, you start off that episode and you're like, oh man, there's going to be tips about like, you know, how to make a good logo or website or what, you know, taglines. It's like, we didn't talk about any of that stuff today, you know? And so this episode is a great example of the content that you put out for your brand does not have to be how-to stuff. It doesn't have to be information. It can be perspective shifts or, you know, here's some insights into how to make the decisions around how to do those things that you're trying to do. Like you want to build a brand, here's a bunch of tips on how to think about it.
Yeah. A lot of people, Todd, you know, and I'm trying to think of the days before I created any businesses and the people that I was running into at the time that were doing the same thing. You know, it's a level of thinking that's it's not easy, right? Yeah. And then you got to like kind of project and think, okay, what will it become? How will I create something or talk about something if it doesn't exist yet?
Yeah.
The simplest and plain thing that I think that you can tackle if you're one of those people listening to or watching this right now is start with you. Like, what are you about? What are your core values? Yeah. Like, if you're a hot mess, maybe you shouldn't be starting a business. you know, but if you're centered and you're working on yourself and you're figuring things out and you're here to serve, then that's a good start. And then now, or you could do like me, like I was figuring that out as I went along.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Entrepreneurship is like the ultimate personal development exercise, you know, and like exactly what you're saying. And that's also why having a show, and I always say being authentic and having a personified, humanized voice in your marketing, it makes things easier because when you figure out yourself, as you, whether you're going through the figuring out, or you have it and you're centered and aligned, now it's super easy to create marketing content because you flip on the mic and you talk about a topic that you're passionate about and it's aligned with what you do. You don't have to spend any time researching or learning copywriting or anything. You just come show up with your authentic self here to serve and add value and deliver it to people. And then that's, you know, that's what attracts it. And the other thing about it, like people try to not be themselves on purpose, which is crazy because you know, your vibe attracts your tribe. You attract what you put out. And if you put out something that's not you, you're going to attract clients that you don't like working with. Why are you going to do that to yourself? Right? Like, you know, be yourself, put out that stuff. And so then you're going to attract people who are into those same things. They're going to be aligned with you on a personal and business level. And you're going to enjoy the clients you work with better. So having a show gives you the ability to actually not just attract clients, but attract better clients.
Yeah. So true. You know, there's this massive shift in evolution, you know, in business, especially small to mid-sized businesses where the owners or the founders are really starting to realize they need to position themselves as the thought leaders that they are. And, you know, that's a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure, right? Yeah. To take that role. And if you find that, okay, that's not me, or I'm not comfortable, or I'm not great on the camera or mic, that's fine. I mean, I highly recommend test driving it and see if it works. If it doesn't, there's a number two that you have, or there's a number three, someone on the team that you can bring on board that can do that with or for you. And now you're doing what you know needs to be done. So, I mean, I think there's ways that people aren't thinking of. And it's truly essential today. Yeah. I think, I mean, the gigantic corporations, you know, they've got it all sort of figured out. They're moving, they're shaking.
Well, I want to correct that. They don't necessarily have it all figured out, but what they have is they are the Yankees compared to the A's in Moneyball, right? They have so much money behind it that they can afford to make the mistakes along the way and figure it out and get it straightened out and test different things. We don't necessarily have the luxury of the Yankee payroll, right?
Right, right. Everybody hates the Yankees.
I love the Yankees. I mean,
nobody cares about. What was it? Moneyball?
Yeah.
Like everybody.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody complains about the A's.
Right, right, right. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody hates the winners.
Yeah, yeah.
But exactly to your point. They have unlimited banks of capital that that they can invest and they can tweak and they can you know. Experiment.
And that's how they figured it out. And so you know, not to discourage everyone from that, but it's you know, let's learn from the best who are doing things well and model those things.
But it's work, it's effort, you know, it's energy, and it's something where if you're something, if you're a brand or a company that's like I like to call legacy, you know, you've been around for like dozens, if not, you know, decades, then it's harder to make the shift, right? Because your mind or your team, you know, is still adopting the old school ways of sort of marketing. I'm like, I need my logo on a billboard on New Jersey Turnpike. You know, it's like, no, people don't really necessarily do that anymore.
Yeah, it's like, let's just give all of them to Rob Sells and Jay. And call it a day, right?
I think the only billboards I ever see is I hate Steven Singer. This is all a plug to him. And then also David Bradley Chocolates, which is near me.
I don't see that one up here.
Dude, it's everywhere. It's crazy. But anyway, they buy billboards and they must be effective because they keep doing it. But it's interesting now because apart from doing like bandit signs, people still do that. Like people still like...
For non-real estate people, tell our audience, what is that?
Dude, you won't believe this. I saw a bandit sign on the side near my house.
A bandit sign is like one of those little two stick things that go in the ground. And that
little sticks, piece of paper on both sides. Or now, you know, it's like corrugated plastic cardboard. And it's got a, usually we buy houses. We buy ugly houses. I saw one guy that you'd appreciate. I'm going to call this. It says, we create Facebook ads. No joke. I'm like, wait, what? Who's doing that? I want to call just to see if it's effective.
Right? Yeah.
Are you getting any ROI on those bandit signs?
Yeah.
My Facebook ads for you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. But apart from that, you know, like people have to adopt ways and understand that, okay, there's still old school methods that may work in certain industries, but I think this, what we're doing, works on all industries.
Yes.
In every type of business. Mm-hmm. And it just needs the owners and the people in that company to realize, okay, it's not as hard as you think it may be.
Yeah. 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 I love it. And you know, part of, you know, as we wrap up here, one, I want to make sure everybody knows, if you are listening and you do want to either create and launch, or, you know, rebrand or polish up the brand that you have, onairbrands.com, right on the homepage there, there's a contact form you can fill out, and you can talk to Eric or one of the other team members for free about the brand situation that you have, and they can help guide you. And if it's a right fit, as you could tell, this man is here to serve and help people. So if it's not a right fit, you don't have to worry about getting covered in commission breath, because we are all here just to help and serve and guide you in the right direction. So make sure you go to onairbrands.com so that you can talk and learn about branding your business and launching a show. But tell us a little bit about, you know, I'll call this your personal brand, but it's your mission, your tagline. I'm going to put you on the spot. You know, you brought this to the table a couple months ago when we were together in person, but hit us with, what is your personal brand mission there and your tagline?
Yeah. Oh, thanks for bringing that up, because the personal brand mission at the time, I think it was the first time I said it out loud, you know, was with you there, has become On Air Brands' mission and tagline. So yeah, to make the world a better place, one mic at a time, is our mantra. And it truly is what we're doing. And it's not in the typical sense or the predictable way that you're thinking what we're doing right now. You know, it's my mic, it's Todd's mic, but it's also introducing you to another podcaster, or getting you on someone else's show, or giving you a show, or speaking on a stage, or introducing you to someone who can get you on a stage. There's many, many, many ways and many, many platforms. The microphone is the amplifier. It's the bullhorn, and we're here to do it one conversation at a time, one stage at a time. And that's really something that's close to my heart now, and I'm just putting it out there. So thanks for allowing me to share that.
Yeah, I love it. And so, guys, I hope that resonates with you, because it resonates with me. If you made it this far through the episode, I imagine that it has to. So make sure you go to onairbrands.com and connect with Eric and the team over there about branding your voice in a way that can, you know, really increase your impact in this world. And let's change the world one mic at a time. So thank you, Eric, for coming and hopping in to fill in for Amber this week. Much appreciated. Always grateful for the time I get to spend with you and getting your message out like this on our two mics today. And until next week, guys, we will catch you on the next episode.
Appreciate it.
You are now tuned in to the On Air.